What one is that on? That's in the wilds, is it? Yes. And it is 198. Thank you. And we'll do both verses. Thank you. Yes, do we have any other requests afternoon? Oh, yes. Onward Christian Soldiers, we can do that one. What number is that, anyone? 181, thank you so much. Thank you, and we will do first three verses of that, and we'll have time for one more after this, so thank you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. Onward, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the a shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthem praise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before.
Wonderful. Yes, sister, which one? 252. Thank you. Only trust him. Lovely. And we'll do all three verses, and we'll follow that with this month's memory verse.
Rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now.
Thank you, sister. Thank you, everyone. That's wonderful. We'll do this month's memory verse, and then we'll follow that with the announcements. Thank you. If we could read through this twice. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 18. One more time. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 18. Thank you, everyone.
Welcome, everyone, this evening. Before I forget, there's pomelos at the back of the church. Just help yourself before you go home. Some announcements to be done. Mervyn Nannigan from Mackay will be our speaker next Sunday for both services. He's a good preacher. Men's breakfast planned on Saturday the 9th of May from 8 a.m. And in that same afternoon, 9th of May, the ladies will have an afternoon tea at 2 p.m. Further down the track, on the Sunday the 14th of June, we have our family focus weekend from Friday to Sunday, 12th to the 14th. A gentleman, Kevin and Sandy Carroll, I think it's Chris Hustler's pastor down in Melbourne, will be doing those services. For those who don't know, Matt and Katie Phelan had a new baby boy, came on Friday the 3rd of April, and just got a letter, a note. Dear Grace Baptist Church, thank you for your kind words, cards, flowers and beautiful flowers after the passing of Ted. Your words of comfort and gestures of care have meant so much to our family. We are deeply grateful for your thoughtfulness and are so thankful to be part of this church. Jan, his wife, Aaron, Andrew and Liam. And also pray for Peter Lawson, who's Kirsty's uncle. He's in the nursing home in Charter Stowers and he's looking to move back to Townsville in the Good Shepherd Hospice. Have a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for these times. Thank you for this opportunity to hear your word preached as a brother brings the word later on. Pray for the outings and things we have planned the next couple of months, Lord, that you be undertaken there. Especially, Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones, be it their families, those who've got family members in nursing homes, that you undertake and pray for them. And also, Lord, we pray for those who are struggling financially at this time when things are very expensive, especially fuel to get around. But Lord, you provide the way out. You might see some resolution, early resolution, the conflicts we've seen around the world. Lord, we know that these things that were meant to be, you said before that day and you're going to come back, there'll be earthquakes, there will be pestilences, there'll be wars. But this is not the end time. Lord, we know your coming again is very soon. I pray our faith remain strong and be with us as we confess our sins before you. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, we have a men's meeting on Wednesday night from 6 to 8. So, fellas, if you can come, we'll be going through our next chapter of 12 Ordinary Men. And so hope you can come. It'll be next door from 6 to 8. So please keep that in mind. Turn your Bible to John chapter 3 this evening. I'm not going to do much reading yet. We're going to read more at a different passage. But this is where we're starting. Sort of set the message for tonight in motion, the message from the morning, and the memory verse that is this month, John 3:16. It's probably a familiar verse to you. Going to read verses 16 down to verse 21. For God so loved the world, actually verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting, have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So God was not, it wasn't his desire to send everyone to hell. He wanted people to be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Back in 2009, 17 years ago, probably a little bit closer to 16 years ago, 2009, Tim Tebow, he played for, he's a QB, quarterback for the Florida Gators in gridiron, in college gridiron. He was playing in the championship game. And lots of times, even at night, the players will wear eye black. And what that is that something to help them protect against the glare of the lights. It helps them to be able to see really well. Well, on that night, he, in his eye glare, he wrote John 3:16. Tim Tebow is a very loud Christian Christian voice. And on that night, 90 million people Googled John 3:16. 90 million people Googled John 3:16. Now, one thing, that's a lot of people to be watching a college gridiron game. Second thing is that I hate that they had to look it up, that they didn't know roughly sort of what John 3:16 is about. But the opportunity for those people to see that that verse says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that phrase, so loved, so immensely, so phenomenally, so amazingly much, that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The fact that salvation, our opportunity to have a right relationship with God, that in itself is absolutely fantastically amazing. Henry Morehouse, I was talking to Mrs. Wynn about this morning. Henry Morehouse, at the ripe old age of 16, he was already a gambler, a gang leader, and a thief. And his life was going down fast. He was gloriously saved, though. And after he was gloriously saved, I must admit, I had the same desire. When I got saved, right at 16, I had a desire to preach first thing. Took me a few years to figure it out. But you know what? This man, he started preaching. And as he was preaching, his favorite text of all the texts in the world were John 3:16. In fact, he went to D.L. Moody's church in Chicago, and D.L. Moody, if you don't know who he is, he was a well-known preacher in the States during that time. Well, he was out evangelizing. He was a much sought-after preacher, and while he was gone, this young fella, Henry Morehouse, filled in for him. And he began to preach on John 3:16. Several nights he preached on John 3:16. When D.L. Moody returned home, his wife said, "This young preacher, you're going to like him. He preaches different than you, but you're going to like him." "Well, how does he preach different than me?" "Well, he tells people that God loves them. He tells people that God loves them." So he went himself. He listened to Mr. Morehouse preach, and he left saying this. He says, "I never knew how much God loved me so much to that point. And from then on, I understood how much, or had a better understanding of how much God loved me." D.L. Moody must have been hard on the sin aspect, on the judgment aspect. Whereas Henry Morehouse, the judgment is in John 3:16, not perish, but he emphasized the love. So tonight, I want to just talk to you about, there's just not enough words. There's just not enough words. And when I say that, sometimes I remember Ed. Ed was, I went to, when I was in a Christian university at in the States, and I was actually starting off to be a teacher until the Lord really got a hold of my heart. And so I remember being there in 1989, and I was there, and it was a Christian college, and we would all give our testimony at the beginning of the year of how we came to know the Lord as Savior. And I told about my experience one night, and then someone, how I trusted Christ as Savior. Someone else told about their how they trusted Christ as Savior. Lots of them were young when they trusted Christ. And I remember this one guy. He was not very tall. In fact, his growth had been stunted from a very young age. And he said this. He says, "Oh, folk guys, I don't have a really good testimony." He says, "I trusted Christ as a very young man." You know, as at my age, I said, "Yeah, okay, I understand what you're thinking and what you're saying. I still understand what he's saying." But the longer I live, the more I think, wow, what a wonderful testimony. That he didn't have to have all the scars of sin and regret and wishing he could go back, that people have who come to the Lord later in their life. Several will say, "You know, I wish I got saved earlier. I wish." Well, you know what? In his thinking, he didn't have a good testimony. And really it was. There's just not enough words to say, "Lord, thank you for your salvation that you provide." So our first one is John 3:16. He says in this verse that God so loved the world, so magnificently so, to such an extent, this is how much. And if you'll remember the illustration that Christ said, "I loved you this much on the cross." That much as he died on the cross. His love for us is amazing. It is one of those, not just love, but it was an amazing love. You think if you've lived a morally good life, you're still a sinner, you still come short, you still are need a Savior. But if you can just think of someone that's had a really rough life, they come to Christ, we think, wow, man, that's grace. Well, it's God's grace for each one of us. It's God's grace. It's just that wonderful. There's just not enough words to say thank you, Lord, for your love to us. One writer said this: God so loved the world. Cannot find a statement like this in any other religion. They all say, strive harder, try harder. And you don't have a clue whether you are accepted or not. But our God is a loving God, a giving God, a sacrificing God. In fact, all other religions, what do? They say, do, gotta do, gotta do, you gotta get better, you gotta clean up your act. Whereas the Lord says, come into me, I'll help. Come into me, I'll come live in your heart and I'll help. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I hope you have a renewed appreciation for that verse after this month. And if it's not one that's in your memory banks, that you will add it. In fact, I was amazed at how much verse 17 came into my study, came into the picture of telling everything this morning, and then verse 18 as well. So there's just not enough words to describe his love for us. Second thing, let's look at his love again. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 3. Now this is where we're going to do some reading. Ephesians chapter 3. You know, there are those times where you plow. My pastor used to say you plow the road. You get people. You say you got to do this and this. But I think seems like the Lord wants us to appreciate our salvation. The more we appreciate our salvation, the more we're going to understand just how much he loves us and how great his care for us is. Now, if you'll remember, and if you don't know, the book of Ephesians sort of splits itself into two. The first three chapters are doctrinal. They are teaching. They are for us to learn. The last three, four, five, and six are action. They are get at it kind of thing. Well, here in chapter 3, we're going to begin reading. I think we're going to begin reading in verse number 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You can't get to the bottom of them. There's just no way you can get there. There's just that much. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now, when we get down to verse 14, that's really where we're going to start. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And then he says, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So we're going to go back to verse number 17, that ye being rooted and grounded by faith, that you may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. So our foundation is the love of Christ. That which gives us strength to go forward is the love of Christ. And then he says that we may be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth, length, depth, and height of what? He's going to tell us. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So two things I want us to start with. First of all, I want us to look at the two words, that we may be able to comprehend. And then the second word is that we would know. Both of those words are talking about the love of Christ. They are referring us to that. That's what we need to be able to comprehend. That's what we need to be able to know. The word comprehend is a really neat word, and it gives the idea of us being able to not only understand something, but to be able to put it into practice, to understand it, to let it be able to influence us. As a tool, as a weapon, as something that helps us go forward in life. The word to know is basically simple enough, but it means to not just have knowledge, but to put that knowledge in practice, to let that influence you in your daily life, to direct you and to have something to do with how you make your decisions. He says he wants us to be able to comprehend the love of Christ. He wants us to know the love of Christ. In what ways? Well, the first thing he mentions there is that we would know the breadth, that we would comprehend with all saints what is the breadth. Now, what in the world is that meaning? The idea of that word is basically what you see around you. It's what you see just flat. It's those things that are around you. Do you see God's love in your life working in your daily circumstances? Or are we interpreting life that God doesn't love me? God doesn't care for me. God doesn't know what's going on in my life. Knowing the breadth gives the idea of us seeing able, whatever we can see close by, flat. That's the idea. It's just that which is straight out. That we can see God at work and his love at work in our lives. I think a good example of someone that was able to do that is David. Turn with me just for a moment to Psalm 23. We've spent some time lately in Psalm 23, but it won't hurt to go back. Psalm 23. David, I believe he understood the breadth of God's love, that he saw the Lord's caring for him every day. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. whatever I'm facing today, the Lord knows about it. And if He's letting some difficulty come, He's going to give me the grace that I need to handle that. The Lord is my shepherd right now. He's going to make sure that I have everything that I need. Now, that's not me being some preacher. That sounds ridiculous. I'm not trying to make any money. And is that not what that says? He really does care about our everyday. And then He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He's looking after our everyday needs. He restores my soul. He understands that our souls need restoring. He understands that we need leading. He understands that we go through dark valleys. He understands that there's times we need His rod and His staff to correct us. He looks after us when our enemies are around us. And then He will welcome us in verse 6. He will welcome us into His presence one day. So David understood well. Turn with me to Psalm 139. And I hope you have this testimony too. I hope you understand that when you look around at your circumstances, that whatever it is, that a loving God really is at work in your life. Notice verse 1 of Psalm 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sittings and mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thought afar off. This is going to be the most, Thou compass my path and my lyings down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. It's just above me. It's just amazing. And you know, this is the most ridiculous thing in the world. But if you ever get frustrated at stoplights? You ever get frustrated? I hope you don't. I'm silly like that sometimes. I think I need to be, and I should have just left earlier. That would have helped. You know what? As you're going through your life, and we're going to make an application here in just a minute. As you're going through your life and you hit that stoplight and you really needed to go ahead and keep going, rest in the fact that the Lord knew that stoplight was going to turn red on you. And it sounds like the most ridiculous thing to do, but it's actually not. Our committing, our David back in Psalm 37, he said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So are the stops of a good man. The Lord loves us. And it's not that He's timing the stoplights according to us. But at the same time, He loves us. And we can just trust Him because we know He loves us. Not only did He want us to know the breadth, but He wants us to know the length. The length is the big picture. It's the opposite of the word small. He wants us to know God in the big picture of everything that's going on. I think of Romans 8, 38 and 39. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is just trusting him. The big picture. Sometimes in our big picture, things aren't going the way we saw our big picture going. The Lord throws health or finance or relationship problems or just an absolute curve. The Lord may not be a problem at all. It may be something else that the Lord just throws that way. Do we see the Lord's love in the big picture? Next thing is the depths. Depths are the things we can't see. Just the big picture was Joseph. When I think of a person about the big picture, Joseph. Remember when the Lord promised him? Going back, sorry. Remember when the Lord promised Joseph? Joseph, your family's gonna bow to you. And he told his family that, and dad said, "Boy, watch your mouth." Brothers hated him for it. Well, years down the road, Joseph kept trusting. Joseph kept working. Joseph kept waiting. And then you get to Genesis chapter 50 when Joseph is, he's already said, "Hey guys, it's me," to his brothers. It's me. The guy that you bowed to get that food, that's me. God kept his word. Joseph said this in Genesis 50:20 when the brothers said, "Joseph, Dad told us to tell you that you're not supposed to kill us when he died." Whether that was the case or not, I don't know. But you know what he said? He said, "You know what? You meant evil, but God meant it for good." So we need to trust God with the big picture of our lives. The depths, the things that we can't see or we can't understand. I think of Job. You know, we look at Job's life and we have firsthand. We get to listen to the Lord talking to Satan and him making a deal with the Lord and saying, "Yeah, you give me his health, you give me his family, he'll curse you." Job didn't know any of those things. But he did say this, even after he had lost his family, even after he had lost his health, even after he had lost his stuff. He says, "Though he slays me, I'm going to trust him." And those things that we don't understand, that we can't see the reason for, or what's happening, we need to just trust his love. Trust in him. One songwriter said, "Trust his heart. Trust the Lord's heart." I already quoted this, haven't I? To you. We've already looked at that. And then the last one. In that verse, the height. The height are those things that we can't reach or control. It's the glory to God in the highest. That's the same word as height. Lots of times it has to do with things in the heavens. Well, there's things that happen that are just beyond our reach. It's probably a good thing because we could really mess them up if they weren't. But the Lord just puts things out of our reach that we can't control. Remember when I at that year in 1989, I remember coming home. I owed a huge school bill at the time. You couldn't go back the next year unless you were debt free, and I owed like $2,000 back then. That was a lot of money. And I remember I got a job. I was working the best I could. I got a job, almost got a job. I only had to do one more test. I got a job making candles. I was so excited. I was going to make $8 an hour. And as she told me I had the job, she says, I just need you to do one more test. I just need you to do the color test. And on our wedding day, I'm rabbit trailing for a minute. If my wife ever asks you what color my suit was, tell her it was gray. That's what I saw. I failed the colorblind test because I grays and greens and blues, they all looked the same to me. I missed out on that job. And you know what? I was so upset. I was, wouldn't say devastated at the time, but I was very sad. Because I didn't see, but you know what? God had a different plan. God had a different plan. Didn't see it at the time. Those things were above my reach, but they weren't above God's reach. To know the love of Christ, to put that into practice each day, to understand, okay, no matter what's going on, good, bad, He's in control. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I realize it's 6:30, but can I just keep going? I'll take less time on these last ones. There's just not enough words. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 was about giving. It was about giving. Paul was saying, I'm coming for the gift that you have for the church. Give generously. God loves a cheerful giver. And he says this, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. That word unspeakable is the idea of not incomprehensible. It's not that we can't understand it and appreciate it. It's just that it's always more than enough. It's inexhaustible. His love, His grace, His goodness, His wisdom, it's always enough. We'll never overrun. We'll never use too much. It's inexhaustible. There's always plenty of it. I love what John wrote at the end of his book. He says, you know what? I wrote a lot. I recorded, I think, 7 signs, 7 miracles, specific miracles that Jesus did. But he says this. He says, there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. You know, there's just not enough words to talk about God's love and how He cares for us. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner. I want to start singing that. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. How amazing. The Apostle John says, it's an amazing thing that He has made us His children. And he says this, it's going to get better. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. He says, you know what, it's just crazy amazing that God's willing to call us His children. Well, it's going to get better yet when, as His children, we get to live with our Heavenly Father. Then he says in 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. We're going to sing as our closing hymn tonight, number 252. And Jared, I don't care how many, as long as that's I Stand Amazed, which I think it is. I hope that you stand amazed at the amazing salvation that we have in Christ. And that that love that he does show, that it gives you confidence, that it gives you the strength to keep on. Well, I know the Lord loves me. Nothing happens that he lets happen. It's going to separate me from him. I'll just trust him. I hope that love has that kind of effect. From Jared. Okay. Is it 452?
452. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. If you can stand, please, and we'll just do the first two verses of this lovely hymn.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Wonderful. God bless you all now. You're dismissed.